If you have your Bible today, stand up and bear witness of God's Word. Amen. You may be seated. I ask you to pray for these students who are starting another journey in their life, but I also ask you to pray for these parents that are starting another journey in their life. Today I gave the graduates a card from the church. I also gave them a pen. I want them to go through this sermon and write the scripture verses that are said. I told them when they reached a point in their life where they didn't think things were going the way they needed to be as being a Christian, I wanted them to refer back to this card. The reason is, today in this message, I want to talk to you about what your part is. Your part. The reason I wanted them to write this down is because so many times in my own life, I have questioned, I dare say even questioned God. God, why is this not working the way it's supposed to, me being your child? I was confident in my salvation. I was confident knowing that this should be working out. Why am I not getting this? All the time, knowing that God was able to do His part, and I believe that. God had the ability to do His part, and I believe that. But I don't think I realized early enough, and that is why I want to tell them today, and you also, that God is more than willing to do His part. He is faithful to do His part. But in order for Him to do His part, He wants us to do our part. If you do your part, God will always do His part. That sounds so easy to say. It's catchy. I put it on the board out here, hoping somebody would drive by, because the thing that hit me, I began to think how easy it is to forget what my part is. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. As you find your place, I want to give you a little history of what's going on here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he is telling them about something that happened in the past. It is actually a warning. So you say, are you going to have these college students, these high school students that have graduated, are you going to have them here and you're going to give them warnings? Always hated warnings. Warnings meant that my parameters were limited, right? But do you realize that warnings keep you from running off the road? Warnings keep you from running in the ditch. Warnings on your car keep you from having your car blow up. We need warnings, don't we? I want to send them off today with some advice, but it's not my advice. I'm not smart enough to give this advice. It's advice from God's Word. So as I say a scripture today, I want you to be able to write this scripture down. These warnings that we give today are not just warnings. They are an invitation to a blessing. Do you realize that God wants to bless you? He wants you to go out here and represent Him. He wants to bless you. He is more than willing to do His part. It's just that we don't do our part so many times. Now, in saying this, this message that Paul was giving to the church at Corinth, he goes back to begin talking about the children of Israel. Do you remember the children of Israel? The children of Israel were in captivity in Egypt, right? And so, who was it that delivered them? It was Moses, wasn't it? God sent Moses to deliver them. You remember, he went across the Red Sea. He changed the water into good water. He brought manna from heaven. How many people remember that? All right. So, he brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage, out of sure death. And he said, I promise you, I'm going to bring you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, what we don't realize is, because we read the Word, we realize they spent 40 years on their journey in the wilderness. How many years? 40 years. When it wouldn't have taken 40 days to get to the Promised Land. They could have left Egypt and went to the Promised Land, and God said, I'm going to go with you. I'm going to protect you. All the enemies in front of you, I'm in control. I'm going to take care of every problem you run into as long as you live for me. I've already delivered you out of bondage. I've already done these things. So now, on your journey after I've delivered you, as long as you do your part, I'm going to do my part. They didn't do their part. And so they spent 40 years in the wilderness on their journey. I, like you, sat in a church when I graduated high school. And when I left for my journey, I spent time in the wilderness. I don't want you to spend time in the wilderness. I want you to get to the promises of God that He wants to give you. But if you think you know everything at this point, and you think you know better than anybody else can tell you, you're going to spend time in the wilderness. Amen. The best thing that you can do is listen to somebody that's been on the journey before you go on the journey. God knows you're going on it. So in 1 Corinthians 10, read what he says. Moreover, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses into the cloud and the sea, and they did eat the same spiritual meat, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank that spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples. You know what that means? That means he gave them to us to be able to use as an example. These things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be idolaters as some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, that means complain, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples. How much clearer could that be? And they are all written for our admonition. That means warning upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth taketh heed lest he fall. Again, if you leave here, or right now, if you have the presence of mind that thinks you know better than anyone that loves you is advising, you will spend time in the wilderness. I will tell you now, you will look back in 10 years and say, even though the school says I knew this much, I didn't know anything 10 years ago. Will anybody in here bear witness of that? All of us thought we knew. All of us would interrupt somebody telling us what was better. I'm trying to tell you, listen. Listen to the people that love you. Listen to God's word. Listen to this verse. After he says, take heed, him that thinketh that he standeth, take heed lest he fall, he gives you this promise. There hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man. But God is faithful. I want you to say that with me. But God is faithful. I want you to tell the person to your left. Tell the person to your right. Tell the person behind you. Tell the person in front of you. I want you to remember that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able to bear, but will also with that temptation make a way for you to escape. Do you know what he's saying? Can I just be able to translate this into our language? God will always do his part. God is faithful to do his part. Now, I want to give you some verses of scripture that tell us what our part is. Now, graduates, if you are a saved child of God, if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you go out from here and you go to some other place, whether it be work or school, you are to be an example of a child of God. That is part of your part. 1 Timothy 4:12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers." In word, in conversation, and conversation in the King James means your lifestyle. In charity, that means love. In spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit. And in faith and in purity. You're to be an example. If you go out from here and you go into whatever venue you're going into, you will represent God as a child of God. You will either represent Him well or you will not represent Him well. You will either bring glory to His name or you will bring shame to His name. In order for God to do His part with you, that first part is something you need to do. That's your part. Now, you may have noticed, I'm not talking just to graduates today. This will hit every one of us. Number two, lead, don't follow. Be strong, be courageous, do not live in fear. You're not alone. For you to follow instead of lead actually means that you will follow someone that does not believe with the same convictions that you believe. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 31:6, He says, "Be strong and of good courage." This is what was told as Joshua was getting ready to take over the leadership of the children of Israel. This is what is told. And he's telling the people because they're going into a strange land. Do you know that you're going into a strange land? It's foreign to you. Before they went into that strange land, the first thing he told them is, do not be afraid. Be strong. Be courageous. But he didn't just tell them that saying, let me give you a good pep talk. He's saying, you're my children. If I've told you this and promised you this, go out with that confidence. Do you realize that a leader has to have confidence? You look at any general in an army. You look at anybody that's running something that somebody is following. Do you realize they won't follow someone who lives in fear? Be confident, be strong. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, He will not forsake thee. Amen. God will never leave you. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Thank God. You're not alone. Don't be afraid. You're never going to be alone. When you start thinking that you're alone. Now we read Deuteronomy 31:6. We read Isaiah 41:10. When you start feeling alone, do you know that you will search for companionship? And the devil will make sure somebody in this world gives it to you. And you will begin to follow what they want you to follow. If you always feel, I'm not alone, you'll lead other people because they'll see that confidence. Does that make sense? You don't have to search for friend groups and adhere to what they believe. You become a part of a friend group that believes what you believe. Thirdly, use what you have. It will help you accomplish everything. In a generation today who is always looking to what can I get, we forget to use what we have. What you have? Well, Paul said it best in Philippians 4:13. So write Philippians 4:13. Here's what you have. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Do you realize that you have the greatest asset if you're saved? What is it? You have the power of God on your side. Amen. The power of God on your side. The greatest asset. Listen, my children can look to me and say, hey, listen, if I've got my dad, he's going to help me do this. He's going to help me do that. No, I don't have any power compared to the power of God. That's an asset that you need to use. Number four, don't give up. Do you realize that we live in a society of quitters? But do you realize that God has a family of quitters? They give up on God. You say, well, they don't give up on Him. They still believe in Him. They give up on His convictions. They give up on what He says is right and wrong. I could take you to church after church today that used to be a God-fearing, Bible-believing church, and today they've given up on what God's Word in some way or another. They've become intelligent enough to change it around so that it says what they wanted to say. They gave up on what God said and changed it to what they wanted to say. They gave up on their conviction. Don't give up on what God tells you to do. He said He is faithful. There is no test that He will put you through that He will not give you the power to get through it.
Amen.
Number five, don't be lazy in your service to God. Don't be lazy in your service to God. If you are lazy in your service to God, you will be ruled by someone else. We look and complain a lot about our spiritual condition of our nation, why this is wrong and why that is wrong, why the things the Bible says are clearly right and wrong, we've made laws that say are right and God said is wrong, we've accepted those and that. You say, well, yes, this person's fault, it's that person's fault. I'll tell you whose fault it is. It's the people that have become spiritually lazy, lazy in their service. You see, there was a time when people would stand, but it takes a lot of effort to stand. There's a time when people would fight, but it takes a lot of effort to fight. Stand for what you believe in. Do not be lazy in your service to God. But that's not my advice. I think Solomon, the wisest man in the world, said in Proverbs 12:24, "The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute." The lazy are always going to serve someone else. So just like in your life, make it like that in your spiritual life. If you're not lazy and you're a handle it kind of person, you're a do it kind of person, you're a stand up, whatever kind of time it takes, whatever kind of sacrifice, I'm going to handle it. Just in like in life, you will completely go to the top, because the world needs handle it guys. The world needs handle it girls, and God needs handle it guys and handle it girls. I refer you back to 1 Corinthians 10 when he said he is faithful. He is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted or tested above what you're able to bear. Do you realize when you leave here today, when you graduate in the upcoming weeks, next week, when you graduate, when you go to a different venue in life, your journey, and you're enamored by the new place. You're enamored by this sense of independence. You're enamored by these new opportunities. Do you realize that your mind will make you start believing that there is a part in you that deserves to experience things that you weren't experiencing before? And this is a thought that the devil puts in every single person. Every single person. Why? Because God allows him to. What do you mean? God allows you to be tested. You're going to be tested. You're going to be tempted. It's not just going to start. He's already started it. And he's still doing it, even on old people like me. What do you mean he's testing me? Well, get this. You graduated, or are going to graduate within a week, right? You graduate 12th grade because you pass what? 11th. Y'all did pass math, didn't you? All right. Y'all graduated 11th, or you passed 11th because you passed 10th. You passed 10th because you passed 9th. Like you got to go to 9th because you got through what? Yeah, we're catching on. Do you realize 8th grade was full of tests, and you had to pass those tests to get to 9th grade? 9th grade was full of tests, and you had to pass those tests to get to 10th grade. 10th grade was full of tests, you had to pass those tests to get to 11th grade, and so forth and so on. Do you realize if you didn't pass the test, you wouldn't graduate? And if you don't go to school and take the test, you don't get to graduate. You don't even get to go from 8th to 9th to 10th, 11th to 12th. So these tests that we think are bad are actually opportunities for us to advance. The test is not a bad thing. The test is the thing that tells us, hey, let me study, let me be diligent, let me pass this test. Guess what you're rewarded with? A grade that lets you go to the next level. And God is doing the same thing through life. He's allowing the devil to test you. And you know what he says? There won't be any test that you go through that if you don't do your part, if you do your part, listen, God is faithful to do his part.
Amen.
It's beautiful. Wish I would have known it. Wish I would have used it. He tells you to be diligent, be consistent, be faithful in your service to him. But I can simplify this message and tell you that all you have to remember is that your service to God is your service to the relationship that you have with God. what you put into your relationship with God. Your part. When I talk about your part today, it's your part of your relationship with Him. You can't expect His part if you're not going to do your part. Every relationship requires that people do their part, right? I'm talking about a marriage relationship, a friend relationship, a parent-child, an employer-employee, a co-worker relationship. Do you realize that relationship is never good unless the people that are supposed to be doing their parts are doing their part? If one person is doing it, but the other one is not, is that relationship good? No, I can show you marriage after marriage after marriage. That relationship isn't good because both people aren't doing their what?
Part.
Their part.
Amen.
It's no different in our relationship with God. It's just we think about this relationship differently. I don't know why. It's a relationship. It's the most important relationship. Every relationship that we have with anyone that's a good relationship is a relationship where both people in the relationship are doing their part to serve each other. I mean, think about it. The marriage relationship or the dating relationship. Think about that relationship. I mean, how good will that relationship really go if it's just one person doing their part? It won't go good. It'll be a miserable relationship. You can take it all the way to the coworker relationship where somebody's depending on somebody else and everything is good as long as both people are doing things. You can take it to the employer-employee relationship. Now, that employer, he does his part by being able to say, listen, I'm going to reward you at the end of this week or the month or the quota or whatever by giving you enough pay to financially sustain you for or what we think financially will sustain you in this level right here. And that's our part. We're going to keep the doors open. We're going to be diligent in making decisions for the company. That's the employer's part. The employee's part is to say, hey, I recognize you're going to do your part. My part is to come in and do the little things that contribute to the whole company. So in the employer-employee, where we hear a lot of people talking about, hey, my company, they don't do this and they don't do this. Realize everybody has a part. And here's what I began to notice in myself, and I'm sure with you. It is so easy for me to see when somebody else is not doing their part. I talk to person after person that just like I mentioned before, I'll get that phone call and this is happening and this person's pouring their heart and they're saying, hey, I don't understand. I'm from dilemma to dilemma. Financially, this is going on. Health-wise, this is going on. Relationship-wise, this is going on. And I'm a Christian, and I've been praying. I've been praying, but nothing's changing. And you wonder, well, what's going on? You're praying to somebody that can do their part. And that someone is waiting for you to do your part. You see, we're never going to have a great relationship with someone in any of those groups that I've mentioned if there's only one person in the relationship doing all the giving or if there's one person that's doing all the taking. You know, I've met some people in life that are just takers, have you?
Yes.
Takers. And we're growing a society that is an entitled society. We're growing new people in this world, in our social, that are just takers. They're always looking for somebody else's part. I've been treated unfairly. They didn't do their part. This isn't happening to me. And so you're not doing your part. You're not doing your part. Hardest person for me to think about is me. Am I doing my part? Now, this principle is especially true in our relationship with God. He's promised to be faithful in His part, as we learned in 1 Corinthians 10. But I want to tell you something. God's different than any other person you would ever have a relationship. You know why? He did His part first. Do you know He loved us enough to do His part first? Let's see. How much did He love me? He loved me so much that He saw me in my condition knowing I was going to be somebody that betrayed Him, turned His back on Him, didn't speak the way I was supposed to, didn't live the way I was supposed to, and still He said, I love you enough to do the first part by sending my Son Jesus, and I will watch Him be beaten, be whipped, be mocked. I will watch them spit in His face, nail Him to a cross, pierce Him in the side, put a crown of thorns, beat the meat off of His back because I love you enough to do the first part. Now, Mike, Will you accept the first part? Well, the first part that I have to do, the first your part that you have to do, is accept his part. If you haven't accepted his part, if you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, their first part is believing that Jesus died for you. Not just believing there was a Jesus historically, not believing there's a God somewhere, not being a church member, not passing a test that says you know enough about the Bible, but actually saying, I believe the only way for me to be able to inherit a relationship with God Almighty is to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. Jesus said it this way in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One way, pal. One way, Jack. That's the only way that you get to God. One way. Nobody prays you in. Nobody wishes you in. You're not smart enough to get in. You're not good enough to get in. One way. What is that way? The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. With the heart man believeth, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's what we have to do. That's the first part you do. If you've done that part, then you're a Christian. And I truly believe people have done that part, but then they fail to continue to do your part. Your part's a perpetual thing. You see, God will continue to do his part if we continue to do our part. There's an epidemic in Christian groups and in churches. We know the name of God. We claim the relationship with God. But yet we're in a relationship with him where we expect him to do his part all the time, and we don't do our part. We think God is gracious, and so because he's God and because I know I'm saved, why isn't these things happening to me? I talk to people all the time, and they think, why aren't these kind of things happening to me? I pray to him. I'm in church. That's great. That's part of your part. If you happen to come on Sunday, and you happen to come every Sunday, then you've given him an hour and a half of your 168 hours that week. You want to know the percentage? You're less than 1% of your time. You say, isn't that enough? That's a great start. But if I walked into Angie and said, hey, you got an hour and a half. What do you got an hour and a half? Let me tell you how much I love you. Let me thank you for this. And then let me ask you for about 20 things. How good do you think it'd be going at my house? How many of those things I ask her do you think she'd be willing to do? That's a relationship. Why do we think God's relationship's any different? Because he's a gracious God? Because he has the power to give it? Yeah, we believe in his power to give it, but just, there's something to do after you do that first part. And if you can leave here today knowing your part is what his part depends on. Yes, he's a gracious God, but it depends on your part. People think because I call myself a Christian, I'm entitled to all the blessings of God. You're not entitled. You're not entitled. I spoke with my dad a couple of days ago, and I sat there, and it was precious for me to be able to see him home, and he was there, and I thought I was going to lose him, and it just got, and I just wanted to just be near him. I sat there, and I asked him this question. I said, Dad, you know, I've been working on this sermon. I want to ask you, just father to son. I said, Dad, you know I call you, and we talk. You know I come over. I wanted to be with you through this thing, but it's not just like a rare thing. I talk to you. We've got a relationship. There's been times I've asked my dad for help, and he's helped me. And I said, Dad, if I never came around, or if just occasionally I called you, if just sometimes I come and see you, but when I did, I ask you for something. I wanted something. Would you be willing to give it to me? He said, it'll never happen. That's exactly what he said. It'll never happen. Why? Because he's no fool. Well, that's not just me. That's you too. That person just comes to you and wants something. That's when they want the relationship. You know those people, don't you? Guess what? God knows those people. Are you one of them? Uh-oh. Young people, don't be one of them. You can't leave him outside of your dorm room. You can't leave him before you go to work at your home. You can't leave him this place or that place and then pick him up when you need him. He wants you to be consistent with him. The Bible tells us that he loved us enough to give his son Jesus for us before we were even able to do anything for him. He started this thing, and then the Bible tells us that if we can make him our first priority, Matthew 6:33, seek him first, and I'll give you all these other things. Listen, your mind is rolling with what you want to do and what you want to accomplish. Let me ask you something. Graduates, how many of you want to be financially set? I mean successful and rich. Right on. Don't feel bad. They do too. Because that's where we think our financial security comes from. You know why? And listen, it's this illusion we have. Because that financial security, it buys us our clothes, it buys us our home, it buys us our food, it makes us feel safe. Guess what God said? God said, seek ye first the kingdom of my kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He said, do it my way, and all these things will be added unto you. He promises us if we do our part, now get this, if we do our part, even in Matthew 6, if we do our part, then we don't have to worry about his part. Can I let you in on something? You're between the ages of 17 and 22, 23, 17 and 23. Guess what? These people that are older with you, you know the one thing that they're saddled with, even Christians? Guess what? They worry all the time. Christians, they worry all, they fear all the time. They worry. Oh, what if this doesn't happen? What if that doesn't happen? I mean, so much that their mind is on this and their mind, just worry. Do you realize the promise where he says he's faithful lets you know I'm a child of God? I don't have to live with worry. God will take care of my day today. Or you can be burdened in a stronghold of worry the rest of your life. That'll be your choice. God said, I'll do my part. So if you believe in his part, that's key. So many Christians are struggling through this life, worrying through this life, trying to find peace and happiness on their own, not taking advantage of their relationship with God. They expect him to do his part, but they're not. They're just not doing their part. They're not passing this relationship test that God's put before them. They're not being faithful to the relationship. They're not being an example of what a child of God should be. In essence, if we go back to the beginning, they're not being a leader. Instead, they're being a follower. They're following the ways of the world in today's society. Something comes up and they say, well, yeah, I guess I believe that way. They're not being strong. They're not being courageous. They're not walking with God in his ways, doing what he says is right and not doing what he says is wrong. They're giving up on their convictions and beliefs. They're being lazy in their service. Get this, and they still expect God to do his part. It almost seems comical, right? This is the majority of Christians. They still expect God to do his part. They do it in the midst of saying, why is this not working out? Why is this not working out? There's a passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 6 that I want you to remember with all that you have. In verses 7 of Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, I want you to remember these verses because I want to explain to you why God can't or won't do his part unless you do your part. I want you to read this with me. Be not deceived. That means, hey, don't be a fool. Don't get taken advantage of. You need to know this. Don't be deceived. Don't be tricked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For a man, if he soweth to the flesh, shall of the flesh reap corruption. If he soweth to the Spirit, capital S, he shall reap the Spirit, reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if you faint not. Now listen, I have a past. My past would still be y'all's future. I would love to go back and change my past. I can't change it. My past, where I sowed to the flesh, is still ahead of you in your future. You still have an opportunity to change it. I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter if you go out here and you sow what you think is spiritual, and you pull out your bag of seeds of spiritual, being good to somebody, coming to church every now and then, doing this, but at the same time, you're throwing out unspiritual fruit, unspiritual seeds. You're sowing to the flesh. Can I tell you something? In your field of beautiful fruit that's going to come up, you're going to have that ugly fruit that comes up. God's going to make sure of it. He's going to make sure. He's God. You know what he says? He says, you can't go out here and represent me and sow to the flesh. He says, don't be deceived. You're not going to mock me. You know, you could do something behind my back and I would never know. My children could disobey me in ways that I would never know. But you never do anything that God doesn't know. And here's what he says, I am so willing, faithful to do my part, but you're not going to mock me. You're not going to get one over on me. You're not going to say, okay, I'm not going to live the way that God wants me to live. He says, and I'm not supposed to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to do these other things. I'm going to do this thing because this is what I want to do. This is what I think. I'm going to do this. God is saying in this passage of Scripture, listen, you will not make a mockery out of me. If he were to bless you when you were living a disobedient life, and I'm not saying you're never going to mess up, but I'm saying premeditatedly knowing God tells me not to do this, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. I'm saying when God knows you're doing that, you're not going to make a mockery out of him. You're not going to say, aha, I got blessed anyway and I'm doing something bad. No, that would make a mockery out of God. He's God. He knows that. Amen. The blessing is what will give you happiness. The blessing is what will give you peace. The blessing is what will give you real joy. The blessing. If you don't have God's blessing on your life, I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what kind of health you have. I don't care what kind of relationships you think you have. You will not be happy. Amen. You will not have peace. God gives his children an opportunity to come to him. And when you come to him, he gives you an opportunity to stay with him and continue to do your part. If you continue to do your part, he is faithful to do his part. And the devil will set traps for you out here. Listen, for some of you, you've already heard a little bit in high school, but you're getting ready to sit under some professors that are going to tell you, get this, they're going to tell you that the preacher that preached to you is dumb. Your parents in that little hick town you grew up in were dumb. If you want to achieve the superior intellectual the level, intellectual level that you need to go to of excellence, then you need to start thinking a little bit different. Listen, you're a college student, so for crying out loud, you can't think the way they used to think in those archaic times. This is not really right, and the Bible is just a work that's written. The first thing they'll try to do is disprove your Bible because it threatens them. The second thing they'll try to do is disprove your God because they have nothing for him. And the third thing they'll do is try to tell you that you're above the intellect to believe some of those old things that society used to believe, and you better be ready for it. And society will help because they'll tell you nobody's thinking that way anymore. Listen, I want to tell you something. The Bible tells you you're supposed to be a peculiar creature, so be peculiar. All right? I'll guarantee you, if you stand with God, you'll be like David. It doesn't matter if 1,000 come at your left hand, they'll fall, or 10,000 come at your right hand. You stand with him, you'll have confidence. You'll see his blessing on you. You'll see his favor on you. Don't you compromise what you believe because some ignorant person is standing in front of you. That person that says there's no God, here's what I want you to think. They will bow before a righteous God one day, and they will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. They will cry out for mercy to him. I don't care what they're saying now. They will cry out for mercy to him. Amen. When you hear them saying that to you, and you know they're going to stand against you, you bow your head and pray for their soul. You bow your head and pray for their understanding. But don't you get tripped up into that web. This relationship with the Lord is the strongest covenant you have. It's the only one that transpires this earth and gives you something. And God makes that covenant just like any other covenant. You know, I made a covenant with my wife, marriage covenant. God respects that marriage covenant. It says that she's to do her part and I'm to do my part. If I quit doing my part, that thing's hurt, right? It's that strong of a covenant. Why don't we think about our covenant relationship with God that much? That covenant gives us eternal life and gives us companionship with God right now. And yet I look back on my life and I think, oh me, I really haven't done my part. When I look back on those times when I was pleading with God, you know when you get closest to God? When the bottom falls out of your life. And you know how much he loves me? When the bottom falls out of my life, here's what I start doing. I start really talking to God frequently. Guess what happens when I start doing my part? God starts doing his part. But if I just come to him randomly and say, hey, I need something, I can see him saying, you're not going to make a mockery out of me. You don't worship me. You don't pray to me. God, I pray morning. I pray evening. I pray at dinner time. Yeah. Put those all together. Add your 3 minutes up. Realize how much time we talk to him. What about the word? I'm going to tell you something, young people. The greatest advice I can give you is to stay in the word. Well, what is the word? The word is the word that you have, the written word of God. And then the Holy Spirit, if you're saved, it's the word of God that speaks to you, that tells you what is right, what is wrong. To be able to come and have fellowship and communication with him. You go up, and here's what I hear all the time. Well, yeah, I went up here, but there's no churches up here. God's not going to put you at a place you can't worship. You get to a place you can't worship, then God's failed you, okay? There's a place that you can worship. He's going to make sure you can. Go worship. Stay frequent in your worship. Stay frequent in the Word of God. Do you realize if you're in the Word of God, reading the Word of God, you'll be able to see all the warning signs. These things that you'll be tempted to do to fail the test, immediately they'll become aware to you, right? And you'll see the blessings in the hand of God on you. But don't do all these things just to get what God's going to give you. Do your part because you want your part. If I go and see my dad because I'm saying I need to go see him, because if I go see him, he's going to give me his part, my dad might not know it. God will know it. Don't do your part just to get his part. Do your part. What did the kids say? Because you love him. God can read through those things that we don't see. Psalms 1 says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in this law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in season, and his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Prosper? What did he have to do? He had to meditate in the word. Go back and read it. He had to meditate in the Word. He had to meditate in the Word. That means he was frequent in his conversation. He was frequent in his reading. He was frequent in his back and forth, answering, listening to God. Meditated on him. And then the psalmist wrote this. Psalms 119, verse 1 through 16. Just listen. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Key word, blessed or blessed. When I look back and I compare my life to Psalms 119, and I wonder all those times where I really wasn't blessed, even as a child of God, I have to ask myself, was I undefiled? And was I walking with the Lord? If you walk with the Lord, you're never going to be alone, but he'll accomplish all things. Listen. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned the righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word hath I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as all the riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Did you hear how many times it said, thy word, the word, the word? When I was at the bottom of my relationship with the Lord God Almighty, I had forgotten and left out of my life the Word. I was not meditating on the Word, and the devil will make sure there's plenty of distractions that keep you from meditating on the Word. For that reason, that much more, make sure you have time to be in the Word, and then you'll be able to see through the distractions. You know what God is basically saying in the simplest message? And this is the message I say when you go out of here. Especially I look at you and I see some of you that were coming to children's sermon when we started the church here. Do your part. Do your part. Do your part. If you do your part, God will always do his part. You will wonder what happened in my life. I will tell you the first place to look is look back in your life and see if you're doing your part. This was not to them. This is to all of us. Are you doing your part right now? Are you? God's doing his part. Are you doing your part? This is how gracious God is. If I understood right now I'm not doing my part, I see what's wrong, God would let me, even knowing me, come and bow before him with my broken heart and say, God, I realize I haven't done my part. Forgive me. Give me another chance at this relationship. God would say, I'm willing to bless you. If you confess your sins, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you right now. What a gracious God. If you're not saved today, if you're in this sanctuary, if you're listening by way of the radio, if you're tuned into the website, if you've got a CD riding down the road and you don't know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved, God did his part so that you could do your first part. Today, cry out to a righteous and holy God and just tell him, God, I want to do my part now. I want to accept and confess to you that I believe, and I want to confess my sin and just ask you to forgive me and come into my heart. If you want me to pray this prayer with you, I'll be standing right here. I'll pray this with you today, and your part will start. But if you've done that before, do you realize that your part is every day? If you want him to do his part, your part is every day. My part is every day. And your part, your journey is going to change. You'll think you don't have the time to do your part. You think you won't have the company to do your part in. Your part will always have a place to be done. Your service to God, you're servicing your relationship. I hear people say sometimes, listen, I've had church members say to me, I don't think, I'm just going to take a little time off from serving God. I'm going to take a little time off from service in the church. Are you kidding me? If I was to come in and tell my family, hey, I'm going to check out for about a month or two. I need to take a little bit of time off from you guys. I'm not going to serve. I've reached a certain age. I'm not going to serve the way I was. But yet we think we can say that to God. I'm going to take time off from service in my relationship. Part of the things that you do when you're serving in a church is service to God. Amen. The other part's individual in your own service. You don't take time off from a relationship. If you do, that relationship is going to go down the tank. Are you doing your part? I'm not going to judge you if you don't judge me. He preached this message to me the same way he preached it to you. I'm accountable for the way my relationship is with him, the same way that you're accountable. Today, you can come back and renew that relationship with God. If you're a Christian, you can rededicate your life to God. You can tell him, I want to do my part more. Come and talk to him today. Father God, I love you. I praise you, and I thank you for the opportunity to speak on your behalf. I give this time to you, Lord, and thank you for the many blessings you've given us. But I ask you, Lord, if there's someone here that's lost, they've never accepted your son Jesus as Savior, I pray that today is the day of salvation for them. I pray they see the need to do their part, Lord, knowing and believing you've done your part. And I pray for Christians all over this room today. I pray for these graduates. I pray, God, that you would minister to them and let them see the sincerity of this message, the directness, Lord, how you've taken your word and given this to them. I just pray, God, that you would give them the strength and ability to go out and do their part. But Lord, I pray, God, that you would reveal it to them on an every day, every hour basis. In Jesus' name, amen.